ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवान श्री नारद उवाच, हिरण्यकशिपु राजन् अजेयम् अजरामरम् आत्मानाम् अप्रतिद्वन्द्वम् एकराजम् व्यधिष्ठता। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। नारद मुनि सेड टू महाराज युधिष्ठिर, द डिमोनिया किंग हिरण्यकशिपु वॉन्टेड टू बी अनकॉन्करेबल एंड फ्री फ्रॉम ओल्ड एज एंड ड्विंडलिंग ऑफ द बॉडी। He wanted to gain all the yogic perfections like anima and laghima, to be deathless and to be the only king of the entire universe including Brahmaloka. Purport. Such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma so that in the future he would be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through that same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons by demoniac austerity want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnava wants to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayujya Mukti, which is generally demanded by Asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord. But although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monoism, one falls down again to the struggle in material existence. Hare Krishna. There was a very nice instructive pastime I read about Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, in the Bowery, not in the Bowery, in 26 Second Avenue, and where ISKCON had just been established, and a lot of hippies were coming for the program. And these hippies would often challenge Prabhupada. And at that time, Allen Ginsberg started coming. Allen Ginsberg was like the LSD guru. He had a big following. And many people, they would follow what he said. And he started showing interest in Krishna consciousness. So one evening program, as Prabhupada was giving a talk, one of the hippies challenged in front of the big crowd, "Swamiji, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru?" This was a loaded question. If Prabhupada would have said yes, then it would have meant Prabhupada is championing the cause of LSD, because that's what Allen Ginsberg was doing everywhere. So he couldn't say that, "Yes, I'm Allen Ginsberg's guru." And if Prabhupada had said no, then he would have discouraged Allen Ginsberg and many of his followers. But Prabhupada, because of his natural humility, and spontaneously he said, without giving it much thought, immediately he said, so when he was asked, "Are you Allen Ginsberg's guru?" Prabhupada said, "No, I am not anybody's guru. I am everybody's servant." So what happens when some test comes, or when such challenging questions come, pure devotees, the substance that is made of, that is revealed to the whole world. So this is the difference in consciousness of a pure devotee. And also, this is the difference between pure devotee and a demon. Like Hiranyakashipu is also speaking perfect philosophy. If you read the previous chapter, and if you remove Hiranyakashipu's name from there, and just read the philosophy, we will think it's being spoken by Narad Muni or Lord Kapila Dev to his mother. It's perfect Krishna conscious philosophy, but being spoken by a demon. So externally, demons may also pray, they might also want a lot of things from the Lord, but as Prabhupada is revealing in today's purport, it is to kill the Lord, or it is to kill the benedictors. Whereas a Vaishnava, when he is praying and he is serving, it is because he eternally wants to be servant of the Lord. So devotee doesn't want to conquer the Lord, he just wants to eternally serve, and by service he conquers the Lord. Whereas a demoniac person may serve the Lord, but with an ulterior motive and with an intention to conquer the Lord, as Hiranyakashipu is doing now. He is also performing austerities. So in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing on this point, that a devotee always wants to be a servant and he never wants to occupy the post of the Lord. So this, today we can discuss about the pastimes, instructions of one such devotee who has always been in this mood of being a servant of the Lord and wanting to give pleasure to the Lord. And today is also Makar Sankranti. Today is the day when Bhishma Dev, he left his world. It's a very auspicious day. So we can discuss from Bhishma Dev's instructions and his prayers how a devotee is always in this consciousness. So we will cover two points. The instructions that Bhishma Dev gives to Maharaj Yudhishthir and also his prayers. And in his instructions, mainly the main point that stands out very emphatically is his emphasis to Maharaj Yudhishthir on how Krishna is the doer and Krishna's plans are inconceivable and how a devotee should face obstacles and reversals in his life. And then we will briefly, if time permits, also try to understand his mood, his prayers to Lord Krishna. So, regarding his instructions, a background is necessary to understand. Maharaj Yudhishthir was feeling very despondent, that he was feeling that he is responsible for the massacre of the Kuru forces in the war at Kurukshetra. And he was feeling extremely miserable. And as he was feeling miserable, Lord Krishna and everybody was convincing him, "You are not at fault. Please don't feel bad like that." But Maharaj Yudhishthir was not getting convinced. Somebody might wonder, Lord Krishna is convincing Yudhishthir Maharaj and he is not getting convinced. How can that happen? So Srila Prabhupada reveals in his purport how Krishna has Paramatma in the heart of Yudhishthir Maharaj, was convincing him not to hear from Krishna outside. So why like that? Why Krishna was only making this arrangement that Yudhishthir should not be convinced by Krishna? Because Lord Krishna wanted to reveal the glory of one of his greatest devotees, Bhishma Dev, to the whole world. And it is because of this that Yudhishthir Maharaj was not getting convinced and Krishna wanted Yudhishthir Maharaj to hear from Bhishma Dev. So then all of them go to the battlefield where Bhishma Dev is still lying on the bed of arrows. And now when all the Pandavas come, Bhishma Dev becomes extremely joyful because that has been his dream always, to see Pandavas being enthroned, and he feels extremely joyful and he welcomes them. Although he is physically incapacitated, he is lying on a bed of arrows, but still with warm words and affection, he welcomes them. And then he begins to give a series of instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And understanding Maharaj Yudhishthir's precarious condition, in the sense, is very despondent, is very sad, Bhishma Dev tells him that you are not responsible for this. And he says, there is no cause of despondency for a devotee if he takes shelter of three processes. Aho kashtam avo nyayam yadiyam dharmanandana jivitum narhata klishtam vipradharma chitashraya. He says, aho kashtam, how much misery is there to go through, Yudhishthir, all of you? And aho anyaya, anyaya, you have gone through a lot of injustice. And you are all sons of religion personified. You are perfectly following dharma. Yet you have to go through so much of suffering. And in all this suffering, jivitum na ratha klishtam. You didn't deserve to live. So much of problems you are going through. But still, you have no cause of lamentation because you always took shelter of three things. Vipra dharma chitashraya. You took shelter of you are fully cooperating with the wishes of the Lord. You have taken shelter of Krishna. Shelter, you are guided by bona fide Vaishnavas. And thirdly, you are following strictly the religious principles. So these three things were pakka. You are following them. So there is no cause of despondency. Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport that as long as one is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, he is guided by Vaishnavas, and is strictly following religious principles, then however trying the circumstances of life are, there is no cause of despondency. Saying this, Bhishma Dev gives the example of Kunti Devi to Yudhishthir Maharaj, how your own mother, she had to go through so much of suffering. But still a doubt might come to our minds that, okay, we should not lament for all the sufferings that we get. But why Krishna does this? Why devotees have to go through this suffering? So then Bhishma Dev reveals that all this is happening because of a very powerful factor. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chayad apriyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayoriva ghanavali. All this is happening because of Kala, Mr. Time. The time factor, he causes havoc in everybody's lives. And because of time, apriyam, all unfavorable situations arise in our lives. And what to speak of you, Yudhishthir Maharaj, sapalo yad vashe loko, the whole world is under the grips of time. And just like a wind blows away a mass of cloud, vayor iva ghanavali, similarly time throws off everything, it makes everything topsy-turvy. Things change, the whole equations of life change. So it is time which is causing all these problems in your life. Don't be despondent. And again in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, so somebody might think time is causing so much havoc, great universes, everything is being destroyed by time. So what is the solution for us? So again Prabhupada writes two solutions. One is, one has to be in all circumstances, one has to be faithful to the Lord. And secondly, one has to be guided by Vaishnavas. So these two points Prabhupada emphasizes. So as long as this foundation is strong of being Krishna conscious and taking shelter of Krishna conscious principles, then whatever the circumstances, a devotee can be happy and peaceful. Yesterday Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave this beautiful class in the Brahmachari class on how when a huge cyclone or wave comes, it is the absolute that we have to take shelter of. He was giving the example that if a hurricane comes and you are holding on to the mic stand, you along with the mic stand will be wiped off. So he was saying we need to have strong shelter. And he was telling us that as we spend years, in many of his classes he gives a very nice example that as we spend more years, we have to take more and more shelter of the basic process of hearing, chanting. He gives the example of a tree. He was quoting Satchinandan Maharaj that as the tree is becoming bigger and bigger, if the root is not growing, and root nobody can see, the root is under the ground. The tree is huge, but if one huge cyclone comes, the tree will be thrown off. But if the root is also expanding and growing, then the tree can withstand all that. Similarly, as a devotee is growing in Krishna consciousness, he has to spend more and more quality time in hearing and chanting and make his Krishna consciousness strong. So that when these waves and cyclones of difficulties come, he can withstand the pressure. Otherwise, Gopinath Prabhu is saying that he'll be wiped off and everybody will be wondering, "Are such a big tree he was, what happened?" But it's because the roots are not strong. And roots nobody can see, nobody can question, nobody will know what's happening. So he was saying that we have to keep emphasizing on these principles. I was reading one article by one very senior devotee of disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was emphasizing that how in 1986, when there was a big controversy and problem in ISKCON and a lot of things were happening, a lot of changes were happening, many devotees began to feel insecure and they were feeling what will happen. And he said at that time he got a lot of strength because he was also feeling a little insecure. You know, my upadhi, my positions will be gone, my services will be hampered. So what will happen to me? So as he was thinking like that, he got the realization that okay, whatever is taken away from me, is anybody going to take away my dependence on Srila Prabhupada? Is anybody going to take away my beadbag and tell me not to chant Hare Krishna? Will anybody take away my realizations in Krishna consciousness? So these things nobody can stake claim or nobody can take it away from me. So many devotees, they take shelter of these principles of Krishna consciousness. That's why we see that despite obstacles and despite challenges, they become stronger and stronger because they depend on Krishna. And that's why in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes an amazing statement. He says, a devotee should not be bewildered by the tricks that time plays in his or her life. So time also plays a lot of tricks. And he gives the example of Brahmaji. How even somebody like Lord Brahma is influenced by the time factor. He has to also give up his position. So what to speak of you and me? So Bhishma Dev then tells Yudhishthir Maharaj, see Maharaj Yudhishthir, try to understand, you had not only material resources, also spiritually you are very strong. Pandavas were actually five brothers, but they also had Krishna always with them. So they were in one sense six. So Bhishma Dev says that Yudhishthira, you had material resources, unlimited strength, because you had Bhima and Arjuna. And spiritually you had Krishna and yourself. So spiritually and materially both these Pandavas were invincible, they were unconquerable. But Bhishma Dev says, no, but still you also are under the influence of time, because that is Krishna's desire. So again somebody might ask, but why Krishna allows time factor to disturb devotees? Why should devotees have to go through this situation? So then Bhishma Dev says, Nayasya kare ched rajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. Muyanti kavayopihi. Even great souls, great devotees are bewildered. Why Krishna is doing like this? What is this time factor? So don't try to understand Krishna's plan. Because even great souls cannot understand Krishna's plan. Yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopi. See, if great souls are bewildered, no point analyzing. It's useless to inquire about Krishna's plan. So Prabhupada writes that instead of inquiring about Krishna's plan, the best policy is to abide by the orders of the Lord and just carry on with the service. Srila Prabhupada could have questioned so much. He went from Jhansi. He had a lot of plans to make League of Devotees, and he went, because he didn't have money, he went, after having left everything, he went back and he started a small factory just to get enough money for that he can start this Jhansi project. And what an ironical thing happened. He started this small Vimlaton laboratory, we invested all that money he had, borrowed some money, and that he faced complete loss. And on top of it, his wife sold off Bhagavatam, and then he left home. And that was one of the most turbulent, Prabhupada was going through one of the most turbulent spiritual emotions at that time. He had left home. Now, it was ironical because he had gone home to get money for starting this League of Devotees. But now he had no money, and League of Devotees also, he couldn't get that Bharati Bhavan in Jhansi. He couldn't get that building. So he had no financial support, no institutional support, because he went to one of his godbrother's mutts, and then there also, they didn't want his services, and then he had to leave that place. He was in Delhi going from house to house. But instead of thinking about his livelihood, instead of thinking about where he will take rest for that night, he was only focused on getting out his Back to Godhead magazines. He would go to the printer every day and spend time with him. And the printer would ask him around 10:30, 11 in the morning, Swamiji, have you taken breakfast? And Prabhupada would say, no, but that's okay, that's okay. Then this printer would offer a seat to Prabhupada, seeing him as an elderly Swami, and then he would get some prasad for him, and then Prabhupada would eat, and that was the only meal he ate. So he could have analyzed why Krishna is doing so much, and he could have, but then Prabhupada was simply focused on executing the will of his spiritual master and the Lord. And therefore we see that great devotees, they don't brood over, they don't analyze so much using their intelligence about why Krishna did this to me. They rather would prefer to follow the orders of the Lord. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example about a housewife. When she wants to train her daughter-in-law in the Vedic culture, and sometimes the daughter-in-law would make a mistake, instead of chastising her, she would chastise her own daughter, so that the daughter-in-law hears, this is the mistake I made. So that she understands. So Srila Prabhupada says, similarly, Krishna uses his pure devotees to go through certain suffering, certain problems, so that others can get instructions. And very nice statement Prabhupada writes. A devotee's duty is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations of the Supreme Lord as benediction and carry on, and not be affected by how time is disturbing so much. It's amazing, Srila Prabhupada, in I think 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he gives this calculation of Brahma's lifespan, and then he writes that, but Brahma's life is, if you compare eternity to sky, in the sky of eternity, Brahma's life is as brief as a flash of lightning. Means it's nothing, and Brahma is living for 311 trillion years. And what to speak of our 60, 70 years. And nobody knew us, like if I'm 30, 35 years old now, nobody knew 30 years ago that such and such person is going to come. And another 100 years from now, nobody will care. Like, just like we don't remember who our great-grandfather, I don't think many of us remember the names of our great-grandfathers and what they did, what achievements they had. And similarly, generations down the line, we don't know who's going to come, what's going to happen. Similarly, we have, our existence is insignificant compared to the eternal time scale. But in these 60 years, we are carrying this, you know, brain, and we're carrying this anxieties, planning, stress, so much of despondency, lamentation, hankering. It's very funny, actually. So that's what Bhishma Dev's, that's why Bhishma Dev's instructions are very, very important and very significant. He's saying, let us not analyze why certain things are happening, rather let us follow Krishna's will. And then it is with Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir, you are so fortunate. Krishna is so close to you. He was acting as your messenger. He was acting as Arjuna's chariot driver. So he is giving him input, he is giving him encouragement to remember and to feel grateful for Krishna. So these instructions are significant because Bhishma Dev is explaining 3 points which are very important for a sadhaka. First is that how we should see all unfavorable situations in our life as arrangement of Krishna through his time energy. And secondly, not only we should see it as time playing havoc, but we should also see that, we should also understand that we cannot sort this problem out by our intelligence, but rather let us take shelter of Krishna. And thirdly, how do we take shelter of Krishna? That Bhishma Dev has said, by Vipra Dharma Chitashraya, by following the will of the Lord, by being guided by Vaishnavas, and strictly following the religious principles, which for us, 4 regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, like that. So this is his instructions. Now let us also briefly try to see, after then he also gives a lot of instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj on administration, on the Varnashram system. And Govind Prabhu is making this wonderful presentation in our Brahmachari classes on instructions by Bhishma Dev to Maharaj Yudhishthir. Then after giving these instructions, now Bhishma Dev withdraws himself and becomes very internally absorbed in remembering Krishna, because now he is going to leave his body. So these prayers which he offers, they reveal how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. That aspect of Krishna comes out very strikingly in these prayers. And Prabhupada's purports are so special in this section. Prabhupada reveals Bhishma Dev's qualities, and also he reveals how Bhishma Dev has unlimited attraction for Krishna. So after all the instructions are over, Bhishma Dev, he says that Krishna is so kind to me. Tatapekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupanu kampitam yanme sum stajatas sakshad krishno darshanam magata. Krishna has come here, just look at this anukampa, just look at this compassion of Lord Krishna, that he is coming to me as I am giving up my body. Now Bhishma Dev, we should understand, he has 2 sides. Like, he was a great administrator, a great kshatriya warrior. And he was also preaching very nicely to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And at the same time, when the need arose, he is now becoming completely introspective. And he is turning inwards. And Prabhupada writes that now Bhishma Dev is placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence on Krishna. And that is a condition, Prabhupada says, where a devotee can be most happy. One has to be in this condition. And Arjuna, now Prabhupada would often say that Bhaktivedanta purports, my purports are my devotional ecstasies. And we can see in these purports of Prabhupada, he's writing, he compares Bhishma and Arjuna sometimes. And like here he's saying in this purport that Arjuna had some bodily relation with Krishna. So Krishna was naturally kind to him and nice to him. He was related to his aunt, through his aunt, through his mother, through Arjuna's mother, Krishna was related. But Bhishma Dev had no bodily relationship. Therefore, his attraction to Krishna and Krishna's attraction to him is very natural. And it's very sweet. But Bhishma Dev is so, such an amazing devotee that he knows that Krishna is more pleased by relationships that he has with his devotees. So therefore, Bhishma Dev would always address Krishna, not directly as Krishna. He would always, being conscious of this factor about Krishna's affection for his devotees, Bhishma Dev would always call Krishna as Partha Sakha, Arjuna or Vijaya Sakhe. He would always refer to him, just like we call Krishna Sri Nanda Nandan or Yashoda Nandan. Bhishma Dev would also call Krishna in relationship to Krishna's devotees. So there again Prabhupada says that the best way to establish our relation in the transcendental sweetness with the Lord is through His very intimate devotees. So this is the way we have to approach Krishna. Because, Srila Prabhupada says, devotees are the most transparent and competent via media to get Krishna. Most transparent and competent via media for us is the devotees. Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Malati Prabhu's daughter Saraswati is a very nice example. When she was a young girl, one day she had one deity of Krishna which Prabhupada had given her. And she was always playing with that deity. And one day Prabhupada had kept that deity, hidden it. And Saraswati was frantically looking for it everywhere. And she would ask everyone, have you seen Krishna? Have you seen my Krishna? She would just intensely, she was looking for Krishna. And everybody was laughing. Even Prabhupada was laughing at her frantic search. And finally, one of the devotees said, Saraswati, you're looking for Krishna, but who has Krishna here in this room? And immediately she understood, oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada has Krishna. So she ran towards Prabhupada and she said, Prabhupada, give me Krishna, give me. And then Prabhupada laughingly gave the deity. And then she became very happy. So, and then Prabhupada said, Saraswati is very advanced because she is hankering for Krishna. She is looking for Krishna. You can see that Srila Prabhupada, for us is, Srila Prabhupada and his representatives are the via media. They are the ones through whom we can approach Krishna. And then Bhishma Dev thanks Krishna for appearing in front of him as he is leaving his body. And he also starts now remembering Krishna's beautiful form, his bodily features. Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshitam Kalevaram Yavadidam Inomyaham Prasanna Hasa Runalo Chano Lasan Mukam Bhuja Dhyana Patas Chaturbhuja. So, Bhishma Dev is saying that Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshitam. So, Lord is waiting for me now as I am giving up my body. And I just want to meditate on His beautiful lotus face, smiling face, and His eyes which are as red as a rising sun. Now, Bhishma Dev is naturally humble because that's the mood of a Vaishnava. So, he is not sure what will happen to him after death. In the sense, he is saying, he doesn't mind whether going to heaven or hell. But his desire is at the time of death, Bhishma Dev wants to remember the Lord. He wants to see Krishna's beautiful form. So Prabhupada says there that this is the highest ambition of a devotee. He doesn't mind going to heaven or hell. But his desire is to remember the Lord. His desire is to see Krishna. And it is remembrance of this Lord and remembrance of the Lord's form that actually fills the devotee's heart with great happiness. Many devotees, when they look back in retrospect, like many times we go through difficult phases, but when we look back, many times devotees have expressed this, that those are the happiest days, because those days we were completely dependent on Krishna, we were remembering Krishna, we were taking shelter of Krishna. So he is thanking Krishna for appearing in front of him as he is leaving his body. A devotee might wonder, okay, Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee, so Krishna has appeared in front of him. But what about us? You know, will Krishna come in front of us as we are living our body or as we are practicing Krishna consciousness? So Bhishma Dev says, yes, for us also there is hope. Because Krishna comes, how does He come in front of us? Bhaktya Vesha Mano Yasmin Vachayanna Makirtayan Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyate Kama Karma Bhi. A devotee can always be absorbed in Krishna through Vachayannama Kirtan, through chanting and hearing of Krishna's names. So Krishna is present to us also, just like He was present in front of Bhishma Dev, if we take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. That's why Srila Prabhupada would often tell His disciples that if I am very sick, don't take me to hospital or don't inject all those injections in all those things in my body. Just chant Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada could see the presence of Krishna in chanting and hearing. There is one lecture Prabhupada is giving in Bombay, 1973, December lecture. Prabhupada is saying there that there is no difference in chanting Hare Krishna and seeing Krishna eye to eye, face to face. That means Srila Prabhupada was seeing Krishna eye to eye, face to face, while chanting Hare Krishna. And I think in Ajamil section, Srila Prabhupada writes that there is no need to do any research on the significance of chanting of Hare Krishna. The history of Ajamil is sufficient proof that Hare Krishna is chanting is the best process. And we have to take shelter of hearing and chanting. And there we can also perceive through that presence of Krishna. I remember last Prerana class was one of the, it was the highlight. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was leading Kirtan, and we had His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. All three of them, you know, 60 years. Physically, if you see, materially, age-wise, they were all elderly, and all young boys, 25-year-olds. And these three were the most ecstatic in the whole crowd. And Maharaj was leading Kirtan, and Chandramouli Maharaj was dancing wild. He was ecstatic dancing, and Giriraj Maharaj also. He has, you know, physically heart problem, and he has so many health complications. But he was dancing like so exuberantly like a child. And after the whole Kirtan, I think Gaurang Prabhu told Chandramouli Maharaj, Maharaj, all the boys are getting a complex after seeing you are dancing. It was so ecstatic. And then we met Maharaj, Chandramouli Maharaj, and told him, Maharaj, your dancing was so nice. You were so inspired. We are convinced after seeing you, Maharaj, that your greatest joy is in hearing and chanting. And Maharaj immediately, around three or four of us were there, Maharaj just grabbed our hands, Chandramouli Maharaj, and said, please bless me, please pray for me that I can always derive joy only from hearing and chanting. Let me not have any other enjoyment in life. Let me go on chanting and dancing. Of course, that was his humility, but he was so excited and so happy. So you can see that many devotees, many advanced devotees, they take shelter of the process of hearing, chanting as everything, because they see that it is here, through this process, that we can actually perceive Krishna's presence. So as we chant and hear Krishna's holy names, do we have a guarantee that Krishna will actually appear and Krishna will actually take note of our chanting? So Bhishma Dev says in the next verse, yes, Krishna will reciprocate if we take shelter of his names and form and chanting, because Bhishma Dev says Krishna is self-satisfied, but he is a leader of the devotees. He is a leader. And being a leader, he descends and he wants to enjoy reciprocation with his devotees. So he comes to enjoy these pastimes. Tadopasmritya gira sahastrane vimukta sangam mana adi purushe. So now he is withdrawing all his thinking, feeling, willing, and focusing exclusively on Krishna. And he starts remembering Krishna's beautiful form. And what does Krishna do as the leader of the devotees? Bhishma Dev says, Krishna, first thing he does is he relieves us of the pangs of material existence, that burning in the heart. We experience relief. Vishuddhaya dharanaya hata shubhas tadikshya vaso gata yudashrama. Bhishma Dev was feeling complete relief from the pangs and from that arrow which had pierced his body. He was lying on the bed of arrows for so many days. He was so fatigued, exhausted. But just by seeing Krishna and meditating on Krishna's form, he was feeling complete relief from those pangs. And then he starts offering wonderful prayers. He says, I want to remember Krishna as an intimate friend of Arjuna, whose bodily complexion resembles the bluish color of tamal tree. And Krishna's body attracts everyone in the three worlds. May his glistening yellow dress and his lotus face, which is covered with sandalwood pulp, let that keep attracting my mind again and again. And Bhishma Dev was remembering how during the battle at Kurukshetra, the sun rays were falling on Krishna's yellow clothes. So that was creating a golden hue. And that Bhishma Dev was constantly remembering. And he was basically enjoying a fighter rasa, virya rasa with Krishna. And Prabhupada writes there that a devotee can have relationship with Krishna in any of the rasas, and in the transcendental degree, in the transcendental sense, all these rasas are same. We should not discriminate. Pradyumna Prabhu was saying that how in Los Angeles, they had this Gopi Bhav club. Devotees were thinking that gopis is higher, so they were always discussing gopis' pastimes and things like that. Prabhupada was heavy on them. Prabhupada said, so these devotees met Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, Gopi Bhav is highest. Prabhupada said, no, you should study Bhishma Dev's pastime. You should read first canto, second canto of Bhagavatam. And they kept arguing. They said, no, Prabhupada, gopis are the highest. No, that is the highest. Prabhupada said, no, for you it is all same. don't artificially jump into these higher moods of Gopi Bhav. Therefore, Prabhupada in this purport also says that Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, that how we can have relationship with Krishna to the highest degree in any of the rasas. And because Bhishma Dev is constantly meditating on how Krishna is driving the chariot, and as he is driving, his hair is turned ashen color because of the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And Krishna's body, the beauty of Krishna's body gets intensified because of the arrows that Bhishma Dev was piercing on his body. So somebody might think, oh, arrows piercing on Krishna's body, you know, it appears gruesome. But for Bhishma Dev, it's okay. Because Bhishma Dev and Krishna are enjoying a very special rasa at that time. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Bhishma Dev shooting arrows at Krishna is just like some other devotee throwing soft rose petals at Krishna. So we are having Pushyabhishek, we throw soft petals. So Bhishma Dev fighting with Krishna is something like that. We may not be able to perceive or appreciate how it is, but Bhishma Dev is able to appreciate and he is able to understand how merciful Krishna is. And he says, Krishna, you are so kind. You didn't leave Arjuna on the battlefield. I was irritating you so much with my arrows, but you didn't abandon Arjuna. Generally, some charioteers, they run away from the battlefield. But you are always, and not only you are tolerating my arrows, and now you are not reluctant to come in front of me as I am giving up my body. Although I pierced your body with arrows. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada quotes, that he gives a purport that Krishna was not feeling pain by the shooting of Bhishma Dev's arrows. His shooting of arrows was like the lover being bitten by his fiancée. So that was the kind of pain that Krishna was feeling. So that's why Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave this wonderful seminar sometime on Bhishma Dev's prayers. He called it as Ras Lila on Battlefield, something like that. Ras Lila on Battlefield. Very interesting title he gave to explain how Bhishma Dev was experiencing a very unique, very special, Raslila on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So like that, and then he tells Krishna that, Krishna, you are so kind, you are fulfilling my desire, and to fulfill my desire, because I wanted to see you fighting, I wanted you to pick up your arms, though you had promised that you will not fight, and just to fulfill my desire, you sacrificed your own promise. And he got down from the chariot, took up a wheel and ran towards me with great hurry, just like a lion runs towards an elephant to kill him. And as you were running towards me, you even dropped your outer garment on the way and you charged at me as if you were very angry because of the wounds that I dealt on your body through my arrows. And Srila Prabhupada again clarifies there that this is not enmity. It is not that Krishna and Bhishma Dev were enemies. Prabhupada says this is the most astounding feature, that a devotee can appear in the garb of an enemy also. And the Lord also can appear to be an enemy of his devotee, and they can be enjoying most intimate rasas. So it's an amazing, Bhishma Dev has an amazing personality. He has got so much charisma, so much, he's so dynamic administrator, a great Kshatriya warrior, managing I think on Sunday Maharaj was saying, how so much politics involved. So much diplomacy, and he is involved in the peak of those affairs, and is also a great devotee of Krishna at the same time. So what an amazing personality he is. Prabhupada there writes about modern day Kshatriyas also, how they are all useless. They don't have any of these qualities. They fight, but they don't do any, and they are so busy fighting that they don't have time to serve Krishna. That is the difference. Like recently, I think last year, in West Bengal Legislative Assembly, the Speaker of the Assembly, Mr. Abdul Halim, he became a very controversial person because he took a very drastic decision. There was a very nice 15 kg silver mace, gada, kept in the Legislative Assembly. It was a part of the colonial heritage, as a part of cultural piece, it's there. So he decided to donate it to the museum. And they kept it in the West Calcutta Museum. So there was a big furore in the media, how he can take a whimsical decision like that. And then there was a press conference, and what he spoke in the press to the media, then the controversy ended, and everybody supported him. Because he said, I gave it to the museum because I was keeping this huge 15 kg thing, and in the Legislative Assembly, when the politicians and ministers would have discussions, and the discussions would turn into debates, and the debates would turn into fist fights, and many of these politicians would come to me, and they would try to grab that mace, and they would fight and beat each other with that. So just to protect that, save that mace, not to save the people, just to save that mace, I have given it to the museum. So then everybody agreed with him. Yes, yes, what you are doing is right. So these are our administrators who are so busy fighting and creating a mess of the society. And that's why Prabhupada says that our people cannot understand about these kind of intimate pastimes of Krishna and Bhishma, because Krishna's one name is Ajita. Ajit means one who is unconquerable. And Prabhupada says unconquerable even intellectually. We cannot understand. He is not conquered by our senses. It's not that I will analyze and I will understand Krishna like this. We cannot. So it's very clear that Bhishma and Krishna's fighting, and that rasa is Bhishmadev's body. Krishna's body cannot be wounded because it is transcendental. And Bhishmadev is not an enemy of Krishna. That is very clear. And Prabhupada gives two evidences to prove this. First is, if Bhishmadev was an enemy of Krishna, he wouldn't have desired Krishna to appear in front of him as he was giving up his body. Why would he want Krishna to be there? And secondly, if Krishna had enmity towards Bhishmadev, why he would run towards him with the chariot to kill him? He could have sat there and moved his chakra. Like Shishupal. How did Krishna kill Shishupal? For the fact that he ran towards him, that is the beauty of rasa. That is the beauty of mellow. The exchange between a pure devotee and Krishna. And Prabhupada says, by such dealings, both devotee and the Lord, both are glorified. And Prabhupada gives a very graphic example. He says, Krishna was running towards Bhishma just like a lover runs towards his beloved. So in that mood, Krishna was running. And Bhishma is remembering how Krishna had a whip on one hand and the bridle rope on the other hand. And Prabhupada again writes that Bhishmadev is more fortunate than even Arjuna. Because Arjuna could not see this form of the Lord. He was standing behind in the chariot and fighting. But Bhishmadev could see this form constantly. And Bhishmadev then aspires to remember the gopis, and he remembers them, and then at the opportunity, at the right time, he gives up his body. And that, as Bhishmadev's prayers are getting concluded, Prabhupada writes in one of those purports there that hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing this kind of narrations is essential for a serious devotee who wants to attain the same stage of Bhishmadev at the end of his life. So Prabhupada then writes that we can also die like Bhishmadev if we constantly hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And then Prabhupada also writes, human life is meant for dying like Bhishmadev. He says. So, and we know that Srila Prabhupada was like Bhishmadev. He was always seeing Krishna, remembering Krishna. Not just when he was leaving his body in Vrindavan, even during his preaching, all the time, from childhood, he never forgot Krishna. When devotees were in Los Angeles one time, Srila Prabhupada was in a garden, and devotees, it was a little cold, so devotees bought a blanket for Prabhupada to sit. Prabhupada said, no, I don't need this blanket. I am sitting on Krishna's lap. Prabhupada could see, he could feel, he could perceive Krishna's presence. And then a slight wind blew and it was a little cold. So another devotee bought a chadar for Prabhupada. No, I am feeling Krishna's embrace. So we can see that Prabhupada was very Krishna conscious, always remembering Krishna. And this is the element that we need in our Krishna consciousness also. As sadhakas, we have to be absorbed. Because sometimes we think that sadhana bhakti means just follow 64 items, tak, just one after the other. Morning program, 5 to 9. It's true that we have to follow with determination all these aspects of sadhana bhakti. But there has to be an element of yearning. There has to be an element of absorption in these activities. Otherwise, it can become ritualistic also. It can become niyamagraha. If you are simply following, we might be following pakka rules and regulations, but thinking, I am following it because I have taken a vow and I have to do it, but I wish I could be doing something else. So therefore, it's not simply the external following, it is the remembrance of Krishna, as Bhishmadev is teaching us. It is remembrance of Krishna, it is that absorption. Otherwise, we become, we only keep intellectually analyzing, and we don't offer our hearts to Krishna, we don't get absorbed. So therefore, with that faith, in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have to absorb ourselves in remembrance of Krishna. So although we may not understand and appreciate most of these pastimes at this stage, but with faith, when we practice, we will also realize the presence of Krishna at the end of our lives. Saint Augustine, he said a very nice statement, He said, this faith we need because faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. So similarly, with faith, we practice now Krishna conscious principles, hear and chant, and remember this pastime from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will also attain the same stage at the end of our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think we have crossed the time. Sorry, can't take questions. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.